The Gospel of St. John, chapter 8, beginning with verse 12. The word of the Lord is as follows. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. The Pharisees replied, you're making those claims about yourself? Such testimony is not valid. Jesus told them, these claims are valid, even though I make them about myself. For I know where I came from and where I'm going. But you don't know this about me. You judge me by human standards, but I do not judge anyone. And if I did, my judgment would be correct in every respect because I am not alone. The Father who sent me is with me. Thus far, the word of the Lord. You may be seated. The Pharisees replied, you are making those claims about yourself. Such testimony is not valid. Jesus told them, these claims are valid, even though I make them about myself. For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you don't know this about me. I want to deal with today necessary knowledge. Necessary knowledge. Just tell somebody there's some things you just got to know. Necessary knowledge. In the course of commencement addresses, speakers attempt to give graduates sage advice designed to propel, to guide, to assure, to warn, to protect. And as I thought about what would be proper to deal with young people and graduates alike, I was called to mind some words long forgotten in my English literature class. They are the words of Polonius, the father of Laertes, the friend of Hamlet. And in scene 3 of act 1 of Hamlet, with Laertes headed for a boat to Paris, Polonius seeks to advise his son about the world in front of him. And within the extended advice that Polonius gives Laertes are these words, give every man thy ear, but few thy voice. Take each man's censure, but reserve thy judgment. Costly thy habit as thy purse can buy, but not expressed in fancy, rich, not gaudy, for the apparel oft proclaims the man. And they in France of the best rank and station are of a most select and generous chief in that. Neither a borrower nor a lender be, for loan oft loses both itself and friend, and borrowing dulls the edge of husbandry. This above all, to thine own self, be true, and it must follow as the night the day. Thou canst not then be false to any man. To thine own self be true, and it must follow as the night the day. Thou canst not be false to any man. For Polonius, the most important thing for young Laertes is to act in ways that serve his best interest. And the only way for him to do so is to be true to who he is. With a concern for young Laertes being consumed by and subsumed in the ways of the Parisians, which could destroy him, Polonius urges him to be true to who he is. And being true to who he is assumes that young Laertes has a knowledge of himself. This knowledge of himself would empower him to be authentic wherever he was and with whomever he associated. Polonius understood the import of self-knowledge, that when one lacks self-knowledge, one is unable to properly identify, define, and to present oneself in the present and determine oneself in the future. The lack of self-knowledge, the being separated from the truth of yourself, can cause you to be a stranger to yourself. And when you're a stranger to yourself, you look to someone else to introduce you to who you are, to tell you who you are, to tell you what you can and what you cannot do. When you're a stranger to yourself, there is an absence of self-intimacy, a lack of self-love, which sets the stage for you to act in self-demeaning and self-destructive ways. It causes you to live inauthentically. It is possible to be highly educated and still not know who you are. There are corporate offices and boardrooms full of knowledgeable people, people whom the world would call successful and whom the world would even celebrate, but they are living inauthentic lives because they really don't know who they are. They are strangers to themselves. And as we celebrate young people, as well as academic achievement, as we highlight GPAs and summa cum laude and magna cum laude and thank you laude and anyhow I got there laude, I need to express and impress upon everybody that you can have all of that and still live a false life, an inauthentic life, an untrue life if you don't know who you are. Conversely, you can possess self-knowledge, not have a degree, but still live an authentic life. Many of our forebears did not have the formal academic training that we have, but they lived full, authentic lives. They had deep and meaningful relationships. And while they did not make as much money as we do, they often had more money in the bank than we have now. With us trying to impress people who really don't like us anyway. They were trying to provide for a future that would be better than their present. The authentic life is the life lived out of the knowledge of who you are. There is a knowledge that is necessary for you to live an authentic, a genuine, a full and powerful life. Jesus, having handled the matter of a woman caught in the act of adultery with the words, "He that is without sin, cast the first stone," sets forth another revelatory word about himself. Jesus, John, more than the other gospels, is interested in the self-disclosure of Jesus. And so John writes of this self-disclosure both in terms of what Jesus does and miracles, seven miracles that Jesus does. There are seven I am sayings, and then there are seven miracles upon which John focuses in order to stress the fact that Jesus revealed who he is. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so here Jesus is in one more episode of self-disclosure by saying, "I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life." Jesus declares himself to be that light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend. That light which comes into the world and enlightens every person's way. That light that brings order to a creation that is chaotic and ill-defined. He declares himself to be the fulfillment of the words of the prophet Isaiah. "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light, and they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath that light shined." As Jesus is speaking about himself, giving a word of self-disclosure, providing oral revelation, the Pharisees seek to discredit Jesus by saying that his words about himself were not true. They charge Jesus with making false claims about himself. They in essence call Jesus a phony, a fraud. They attack his credibility and the veracity, the truthfulness, the honesty of his word. Now look at this, with Jesus presenting self-disclosure, with Jesus providing truth about himself designed to enlighten and to liberate, the Pharisees seek to limit and nullify Jesus by putting negative definitions and labels upon him. And listen to how Jesus responds. Jesus says, these claims are valid, even though I make them about myself. For I know where I came from and where I'm going. But you don't know this about me. You judge me by human standards, but I do not judge anyone. And if I did, my judgment would be correct in every respect because I'm not alone. The Father who sent me is with me. Do you hear Jesus? Jesus says that what he says about himself, the way in which he has related with himself, the way in which he has presented himself to the world has been in sincerity and in truth. His reactions and his responses, all of them are true and valid. And he says, the authenticity of my disclosure, my actions are rooted in my knowledge. He says, for I know. And that word know describes an understanding. It is an intimate awareness that is internalized and then manifested in action. In other words, Jesus says, the words that he speaks, the decisions that he makes, and the actions that he takes all come out of what he knows. In other words, there is nothing that Jesus does that is not informed by a fundamental knowledge. Because, friends, there is a relationship between knowledge and presenting yourself in an authentic manner. And the first aspect of this knowledge is connectedness. In other words, knowing the connectedness of life is necessary. Jesus wants us to understand no life is lived in isolation. No life is lived within a vacuum. Every life has a context that is filled with connection. Our lives are lived within a continuum of associations and relations and connections. None of us are self-existent. That is, we don't exist for the sake of ourselves. None of us came here ex nihilo. That is to say, came out of nothing. We did not bring ourselves into this world. We are not the Alpha or the Omega of anything. We exist within the continuum. We are that which is between the beginning and the end. And what that says is you may be the first to graduate from high school, the first to go to college, the first to get a college degree, the first to get a postgraduate degree, the first to escape the hood, but you are connected to a continuum that preceded you, that served as the context of your emergence on the stage of life. And should God allow you to continue to live from you, my God, others will come after you. Jesus says, for I know where I came from. Jesus asserts that he just didn't arrive, but he came from somewhere. He is strengthened and rooted and grounded in history, a historical narrative that is real and relevant. Jesus says, who I am in the present comes out of where I came from. I affirm my heritage. Jesus says, geographically, I came from Nazareth by way of Egypt and Bethlehem. Genealogically, I came from God the Father himself. I told you earlier that I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom you know not, but I know him, for I am from him, and he has sent me. I know where I came from, Jesus says. I came from the unscaled heights of glory, from the place where judgment and righteousness uphold the throne. I know where I came from. I came from where the sons of light break out into seraphic and cherubic praise, singing holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. The way that I relate to myself, the way that I present myself to you is because I know from whence I came. I can tell you what the kingdom of heaven is like because I know from whence I came. I can tell Nicodemus, if you're going to get into the kingdom, you got to be born again because I know from whence I came. And the reason why you can't understand me is that you neither know where I came from, nor do you know me. I guess what I'm trying to let somebody know is knowing the history of your life is necessary. It's important that you know that you came from somewhere, that you have a history. You have a historical narrative, that you have a heritage, that you live in a lineage that roots you and grounds you and validates you, that there is a geographical connection that you have, a geographical location, and there is a genealogical connection that you have. And just as those of European and Asian and Middle Eastern and Latin American and Australian and Jewish descent have much for which to be proudly associated with, so do those of you who are of African descent have much for which to be proud, because you've got to understand from Africa came writing in the form of hieroglyphics and architecture and geometry and embalming techniques and medicine and philosophical societies. They all came from Africa. Some of the early church fathers came from Africa. In other words, what I want some young person to understand is that before we were ever shooting hoops or making touchdowns or hitting home runs, before we were ever rapping or singing or dancing or bumping or grinding, we were building, we were creating, we were thinking, we were teaching, we were mastering, we were conquering. And therefore, you don't need to shy away from physics or engineering or chemistry or calculus or architecture, because it's a part of your heritage. It's even in your very DNA. And as important as our socio-cultural location is, there's something even more fundamental to our origin. We've come through our parents, but we've come from the creative imagination of God. We are the workmanship of God. We've been crafted by the Master. These bodies of ours have been fearfully and wondrously made. We've been made in the hiddenness of our mother's womb, but the Lord was right there. These bodies are the very repositories of the breath of God in us. We bear God's image, and we were created after his own likeness. And what that means simply is we were endowed with personality and personhood. By personality, we have the capacity for self-awareness. That is to say, we are able to say who we are, that we exist. We have the power of definition. We have the power to name ourselves. We have the capacity to define ourselves against the negative names that people seek to place upon us. No, you don't have to accept any negative label, any negative name. You have the power to name yourself. You have the power to determine yourself. You decide. You have free will. Nobody makes you do anything. And you've got the power of self-reflection. That is, after you've done what you've done, said what you've said, you have the ability to step back and look at what you said and determine whether or not it was good or ill. And you then have the ability to correct or to continue in the way that you go. When you know this for yourself, you are able to relate to yourself and to others in a way that says, my life matters. My life is valuable. My life is sacred. I am a piece of divine artistry. I am invaluable. I am irreplaceable. I've been given a trust from God that I cannot abuse. I cannot misuse. I cannot shirk what God has given me. I can't allow myself to be played or manipulated or taken advantage of. That's what allowed our forebears to resist the false claims made by slave masters and as they sought, my God, to solidify it by way of Jim Crow in the face of indignity after indignity of being spat upon and denied access, houses bombed, sons lynched, daughters raped, while they were dislocated from their ancestors and their ancestral homes. They may not have known through whom they came, but they definitely knew from whom they came, and it empowered them to say, if anybody asks you who I am, tell them I'm a child of Almighty God. My father is rich in houses and land. He holds the wealth of the world in his hand. There are some right now under the sound of my voice, you may not know the details of your parentage. The through whom may be cloudy, but let there be no doubt from whom You have come. I want you to know you've come from God himself. He made you a little lower than the angels and crowned you with glory and with honor. He has invested within you everything that you need to be completely and do perfectly everything that he agreed within himself before one day of your life ever came to be. You got to know where you're from. And as it was the case with Jesus, so will it be the case with you. Not everybody can feel you, because not everybody knows where you came from. They may neither appreciate nor recognize the imago Dei, the image of God that is you. And whenever that is the case, whenever you are surrounded by people who don't get you because they don't understand where you came from, you've got to choose not to dumb down to where they are concerning you. You've got to think more of yourself than allow yourself to be manipulated into their view of you. You got to have enough self-knowledge that gives you enough self-esteem that allows you to step back and say, you better recognize who I am. And if you don't, then you can just get to stepping and I will do the first step, because you realize who you are because you know where you came from. Jesus says, I know where I came from and where I'm going. Jesus says, because I know that I came from somewhere, I live my life the way that I live it because my life is dynamic. He says, I'm going, I'm proceeding, I'm progressing, I'm moving, I'm going somewhere. My life has aim, intention. My life has rhyme. It has reason. And its meaning is beyond me coming. It's beyond my past and even in my present. The meaning of my life is continually unfolding and it extends into the future. There's a part on the stage of life that only I can play. There is a goal and indeed an hour towards which my life is drawn and to which my life is proceeding. I know where I'm going. I was sent to here to do something. I am to do the will of him that sent me. I came to seek and to save those that are lost. I did not come to be ministered unto, but to minister and give my life a ransom for many. Authentic life is not just knowing the connectedness of your life and knowing from whence you've come, but it also springs from knowing where you're going. It's not just knowing your history, but also knowing your destiny. I guess what I'm trying to say to somebody is knowing the destiny of your life is necessary. Because friends, the way that you live in the present should take into consideration the future that you have. The way that you're living right now should be in view of where you think you're going. There is a purpose. There is a destiny towards which our lives are drawn and directed, and therefore the manner in which we live in the present will either help or hinder the fulfillment in the future. It's the sense of destiny and purpose that affirms your value when everything around you would seek to destroy you. It was our forebears' sense of destiny and purpose that empowered them to resist what seemed to be a closed-ended present. But their sense of destiny was what caused them to look at a closed-ended present and still grasp an open-ended future for their children and their grandchildren. The days were dark, the nights were long, the road was rough, the going was tough, the hills were hard to climb. But they said, in spite of what is closed to me, I'm going to keep on pressing because I believe that there's going to be an opening for my children and my grandchildren. And because they knew that they were going somewhere, they refused to get caught in thinking and actions that led nowhere, because they understood the difference between going and going somewhere. Because there are many people who are going, but they're not going somewhere. They're going nowhere fast. Jail and prison aren't somewhere. That's nowhere. Flunking out of school and just hanging out on the corner, that's not going somewhere. That's nowhere. Somewhere is where you can provide for yourself and for those whom you love. Somewhere is where life is elevated to a higher level because you're involved. And when you know that you're going somewhere, when you have a sense of destiny, when you resist actions that can restrict your journey, your sense of destiny is what keeps your emotions in check. There are some things that you won't do when you have destiny on your mind. And friends, let's just admit this is a constant battle because life will present you with deflating moments, disturbing circumstances that can make you doubt or be despairing about your future. It happened to LeBron in game one. His anger, his frustration, JR's stupidity caused him to lose sight of destiny when he punched that blackboard and broke his hand. In the moment, with only one game having been played, he acts in a way that demonstrably made his pursuit even more difficult. There were still six more games to play. And I want somebody to hear me, because in the pursuit of your destiny, there are always going to be some challenges, some setbacks, some mistakes. There are always going to be some JRs in your life. There are always going to be some instances where you feel as if you're the only one pulling the train and everybody else is just there for the ride. Oh, my God. But when you take a loss, you got to resist doing something that will restrict your journey. You got to remind yourself, I got six more games to play. I got another opportunity. I got another shot. I'm still in the series. I know where I'm going. I'm still the baddest man in the NBA. I still have a possibility. I've been down 3-1, 3-0, and we came back, my God, and won the whole thing. You got to remind yourself, and I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but you're in a situation and you're feeling kind of bad. You better remind yourself, I got six more games to play. Am I breathing? I'm still alive. Do I still know my name? I still got a chance. And do I have the activity of my limbs? I still have a shot. Jesus said, I know where I'm going. I'm going to be lifted up. I'm going to sacrifice my life for the world. And when that happens, you'll know who I am. I want somebody to understand, you ain't got to prove to anybody who you are. Just keep on living, and there will be a situation where they will come to know who you are. Jesus says, you ain't feeling me now, but after I'm lifted up, you're going to know, Lord have mercy, who I am. I'm going because I'm not by myself. He that sent me is with me. He says, I can be who I am and pursue what I pursue because there's always somebody with me. When I pass through the waters, he is with me. When I go through the rivers, he is with me. When I walk through fire, he is with me. When no one else is around, my Father is with me. When my disciples don't get it, he is with me. I'm not afraid to be who I am, say what I say, do what I do, go where I go, because I know the Father is with me. That's something that you need to know. You need to know that you are never by yourself. You need to know that there is always going to be somebody by your side when mama and daddy are gone and friends cannot be found and family may not understand. You need to know that God is with you, and every now and then God will let you know that he's with you, that he's on your side, that you are his child. Look yonder at the Jordan River and see John the Baptist bringing Jesus up out of the baptismal waters, and the Bible says that the heavens open. The Spirit of God comes in the form of a dove, and a voice comes from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Check him out a little later in his life before he's going to face the trial of the cross. God says, I'm going to show you one more time. Look at him at the Mount of Transfiguration. Elijah's on one side and Moses is on the other, and Peter gets so happy that he says, Lord, it's just good for us to be here. Let's build three tabernacles, one for Moses, Moses, one for you and one for Elijah. And then God pulls Elijah and pulls Moses back. And then God says, no, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Ah, then so Jesus says, I know I'm not by myself, and therefore I'm just going to go where I'm supposed to go. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do because I know where I'm going. He would tell the Pharisees, behold, he would tell his disciples, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and they shall deliver him to the Gentiles, where they will mock him, scourge him, and crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. Look at Jesus, knowing where he was going. In the upper room, he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there you may be also. Jesus says, I know where I'm going. I'm going somewhere. And that where I'm going is going to take me through some things. I'm going to go through denial. I'm going to go through betrayal. I'm going to go through everybody leaving me by myself. But that's all right. I know the Father is with me because I'm on my way to somewhere. I've got to go through some things. Can I say parenthetically to everybody under the sound of my voice, wherever you're going, you're going to go through some things. Wherever you're headed, whatever your destiny may be, you're going to go through some stuff. High five your neighbor if you know what I'm talking about. If you can testify, yes, I was headed in this direction. I had this goal in mind, but I had to go through some difficulties, had to go through some challenges, had to go through some setbacks, had to go through some letdowns, had to go through some layoffs, had to go through some pain, had to go through some strain. But the Father was with me everywhere I went. And so look at Jesus going through to get to where he had in mind. They carry him to the cross. They nail him in his hands. They pierce him in his side. They raise him between earth and heaven. But the Father is with him. Even at a dying hour, he's so sure that the Father is with him that he says, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. They put him in the grave, and even there the Father was with him. And then early Sunday morning, God raises Jesus with all power in his hand. I'm glad that I can report to you that Jesus is true, that everything Jesus said about himself is true, that every way that Jesus revealed himself is true. His witness is true. His claims are true. His word is true. His love is true. His power is true. His salvation is true. And because I met him for myself, I know who I am and I know where I'm going. I got a destiny and I've got a destination, and I want to thank him for showing me. I want to thank him for directing me. I want to thank him for revealing to me why I'm here. Do I have a witness? Is there anybody here? Do you know what you're here for? I know what I'm here for. I'm here to be a son to my parents, a brother to my sister, a husband to my wife, a father to my children, an uncle to my niece, a nephew to my uncles, a friend to my friends, a pastor to the church, a preacher to the world, a bishop in the Lord's church. I know what I'm here for. I'm here to be a reconciling presence in the land. I'm here to be a cultural translator for those who can't hear each other. I know what I'm here for, and I know where I'm going. High five your neighbor and say, neighbor, I know what I'm here for, and I know where I'm going. Yeah, and I'm so glad that God will bring me through everything I got to go through until I get to where I'm going. There are places, many places, I'd like to go. I'd like to see the pyramids in Egypt. I'd like to see the Alps in Switzerland. I'd like to see the barrier reef in Australia. I'd like to see the Taj Mahal in India. I'd like to go to any of those places. But if I never get there, I won't be sad, because that ain't really where I'm going. I'm going to a place called the New Jerusalem. I'm going to a city that has 12 gates. I'm going to a place where there is a tree whose leaves are fit for the healing of the nations. I'm going to a place where there is a river of life that's flowing to the city. I'm going to a place there'll be no sun, no moon, no stars, because the Lord, the light of the world, who lights the city, he will be there. I'm going where the saints said, the wicked will cease from troubling, and the weary shall be at rest. I'm going to a place. Is there anybody who can say, me too? I'm going to that city. I got a brother there. I got a daddy there. I got relatives there. I got friends there. But most of all, Jesus is there. Yeah! Yeah!